This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's talk about the Holy Father's papal audience as we do every Wednesday. What do you think the main message of Pope Francis was today?
Well, John, really, today's main message was about the importance of human freedom and how freedom and Christianity are just inextricably linked. He said all of that in context of his continuing reflection on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And today Pope Francis said Christianity introduces people into what he called a new freedom. He called it a liberating novelty because it's that of the gospel. It's the freedom of the gospel. So he said that true Christian freedom enables a person to, in his words, acquire the full dignity of children of God. So he said that this is what allows a person to remain anchored in his or her own cultural heritage without being open, while at the same time, being open to what is good and what is true in every culture and not coming into conflict with it. But instead, Pope Francis insisted that St. Paul's vision of freedom shows the duty of respecting what Pope Francis today called the cultural origin of every person, leading to an understanding and an appreciation of that true, authentic Christian freedom. And he said that he asked all to remember that an openness to all people is important because Christ was born, died, and rose for everyone. And then today, the Pope suggested finding new ways of speaking the faith to others because otherwise, one could risk no longer being understood by new generations. And finally, he invited the faithful not to claim freedom as a possession, but to be challenged by freedom, in his words, to be constantly on the move, oriented toward its fullness. And then finally today, he referred to the state of pilgrims and wayfarers as one of continual exodus. So those who are liberated from slavery so as to walk toward the fullness of freedom, that gift of Christian freedom, John.
And the Holy Father reflected on the fact that we need to please and obey God rather than men, something that St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, has always reminded us. And I think that that's a really good reminder for all of us.
Right, exactly. He said that for all of us to remember, in order to be moving toward the fullness of Christian freedom, to remember that we must obey God and never man. And when we are in that state, that is when we have authentically reached Christian freedom.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, President Biden appointed Joe Donnelly as ambassador of the United States to the Vatican. What has been the reaction of that appointment?
The president nominated Senator Joe Donnelly, and Donnelly, calls himself a Catholic. He campaigned for Biden. He wrote an op-ed last year talking about the shared faith tradition that he has with President Biden. Now, to give you a little background on him, he's a Democrat from Indiana. He served three terms in the U.S. House before then winning a senatorial race in 2012, and then he lost his reelection bid in 2018. Now, you asked about the reaction to that appointment, John, and there have been many outcries, especially from the pro-life community, because his views on the sanctity of life, he's waffled back and forth, used to be a pro-life candidate, and very much has changed his stance. So, of course, at this point, he does not represent the church's teaching on the sanctity of life. In fact, a NARAL gave him an 80% approval rating. And from here, his appointment to be the ambassador of the U.S. to the Holy See will be confirmed, or must be confirmed, by the Senate in order to be official. So now we will watch and wait and see what happens. And, of course, we can continue to pray the Rosary, along with Relevant Radio and EWTN and the Napa Institute, on this month for life to especially bring pro-life candidates to the fore, John.
Absolutely. And also continue to pray that the hearts may be touched and that the hearts may be changed by some of these Catholic politicians that still think that that abortion is okay, even though they say that it's not okay for them personally. They don't want to impose their views on other people.
We pray for that change of heart and mind. And we all know that that it can happen. So we also join, of course, Bishop Cordileone and asking the world to pray, especially for the conversion of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. So for all of these politicians, we do the part that we can, which is to pray and to make our voices heard.
Absolutely. On a more positive note, we have some reasons to celebrate here in this country with the U.S. Having 20 new deacons, American men being ordained right there in St. Peter's Basilica. Give us the update on that.
This is so exciting for our church in the U.S., John. So, yes, indeed, it's a gorgeous St. Peter's Basilica right at the altar of the chair there. Cardinal Wilton Gregory of D.C. was here in Rome and ordained 20 seminarians from the Pontifical North American College in Rome to the transitional diaconate. So it was an absolutely gorgeous ceremony, beautiful choir. Of course, these new deacons committed themselves to lives of prayer, of celibacy, obedience to their diocesan bishops. They joined, they placed their joined hands between those of the presiding bishop, in fact, as they make that promise of obedience. They prostrated themselves before the altar. They knelt before the bishop as he laid his hands on their heads and before saying that prayer of consecration. So it was a beautiful ceremony, and the main message from Cardinal Gregory urged all the new deacons to have a heart for charity. And so he said that is one of the essential elements of the office. He pointed out that priests and deacons will always have flaws, but that without a heart for charity, they will be just a hollow and worthless sign, John. So what's going to happen from here is that those deacons will undergo another year of theological studies and spiritual formation before their ordination to the priesthood in their home diocese, John.
Ashley, as I said before the break, there's some wonderful celebrations and feasts here in the month of October. We've got the feast of Pope St. John Paul II coming up later this month. And of course, we have St. Teresa of Avila later this week. Can you talk about some of these cool feasts and celebrations here in the month of October?
Absolutely. Well, a very special celebration was just held in St. Peter's Basilica on the 11th of October, and that was the feast of Pope St. John the 23rd. And we know him better here in Italy, in Italian, as Il Papa Buono, which means the good Pope. So he was just a beloved Pope for his sense of humor and the big smile that he always had on his face. And he was actually one of 13 children. And so I imagine that that's why he always had a smile on his face, because he grew up with lots of playmates having lots of fun. And it was, of course, he who called the Second Vatican Council, but did not live to see the end of it. He died in 1963. But when his body was unearthed during the canonization process, when they were preparing to entomb him in St. Peter's Basilica, what they discovered was that his body was incorrupt. And so there in the basilica, under the beautiful Domenichino mosaic showing the Viaticum, or the Last Communion of St. Jerome, right under that beautiful altarpiece is the body of Pope St. John the 23rd, and it's actually inside of a glass urn. So, John, on his feast day, pilgrims came from throughout the city, of course, from throughout Italy as well, to make pilgrimage to that spot, to pray there. There were beautiful flowers set up at his tomb. There were masses going on, special masses all throughout the day, so that the faithful could be there and to celebrate his special feast day. And then, John, you also mentioned St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day is coming up on Friday, on the 15th of October. And, of course, such an amazing role model of the faith, this Spanish noblewoman who, of course, was called to the life of a Carmelite nun. She was a mystic. She was a religious reformer. And not many people realize, though, John, that there is actually a very important relic of St. Teresa of Avila right here in Rome. And, of course, it is she who founded the Discalced Carmelites. She established them, and the shoeless Carmelites. Well, just so happens that her foot, her very right foot, is here in Rome at the Church of Santa Maria della Scala, which is in the neighborhood of Trastevere. And so on Friday, on that special day, pilgrims will come to especially venerate that relic. Now, that church today is run by the Carmelites. And of course, it's such an interesting reality that we celebrate her feast on the 15th of October, because it just so happened that St. Teresa of Avila passed away just as the Gregorian calendar was replacing the Julian calendar in 1583. And it was exactly, 1582 it was, and it was exactly as those days, in order to implement the new calendar, they were actually removing the date of October 4th to October 14th from the calendar altogether. So with that said, when she passed away, probably late night on the 4th or early morning the next day, her death date is actually attributed as October 15th because the 10 days in the interim were literally wiped out of time. So nevertheless, she is celebrated on the 15th of October on the liturgical calendar. And her last words, "My Lord, it's time to move on. Well, then may your will be done. Oh, my Lord and my spouse, the hour that I have longed for has come. It's time to meet one another." It's with those words in mind that pilgrims will go to venerate that very special relic here in Rome, John.
And we think of Teresa of Avila as the big Teresa, with St. Therese, the little flower, as the little Teresa that we celebrated at the beginning of the month, Ashley. I have a quote on my desk at home from St. Teresa that I just absolutely love. "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Though all things pass, God does not change. Patience wins all things, but he lacks nothing who possesses God, for God alone suffices." And just a great reminder from St. Teresa.
So true. And actually, John, those words remind me, too, of the beautiful, the amazing sculpture by Gian Lorenzo Bernini that is in the Church of Santa Maria della Vittoria here in Rome, which is considered perhaps his greatest work of all time. It's the Ecstasy of St. Teresa in Avila. The artist manages to capture her in that precise moment of ecstasy, of pleasure, of pain, of everything that it involved. And it's that very moment, John, that she understood those words, that God alone will suffice, that you shared.
And Ashley, on the 22nd of this month, we celebrate our hero, Pope St. John Paul II.
Yes, and that's, of course, such an exciting time here. Pilgrims go and they visit his tomb itself. He is entombed in St. Peter's Basilica. And, you know, it's always exciting, John, because early mornings in St. Peter's, there are very often or traditionally have been Polish groups there who celebrate their beloved Pope. And so on that special day, again, people will be crowding into St. Peter's Basilica in order to specially venerate his remains and to pray there at his tomb, really the most popular altar in all of St. Peter's Basilica.
I remember kneeling in front of his tomb before they moved it, just around the corner from the tomb of St. Peter, underneath the high altar at St. Peter's. And I remember praying there, and I left my business card next to his flowers, asking for the Holy Father's intercession at the time to please send us a baby. We had been praying for a baby. And sure enough, 10 days later, my now adopted son was born, unbeknownst to me. So JP2 is my hero forever.
Oh, so much to be thankful for his intercession. He's also the patron of our Truth and Beauty Project, Don, because he, being such an amazing communicator, who changed so many hearts through his ministry, that's what we pray to do also through ours. So that's awesome to hear that.
And one other thing, is it true, do I understand correctly, that we can now say arrivederci to Alitalia Airlines?
Oh, John, it's true. In fact, if you have any of those Alitalia points stored up, then time to turn them in, because Alitalia's last day is literally tomorrow. Now, to give you a little background, this is, of course, the famed state airline. And over the years, it's gotten a little bit of a reputation of being more well-known, especially for its fancy flight attendant uniforms designed by people like Giorgio Armani, rather than for its service or its punctuality. And so Alitalia Airlines, which has been running since 1946, gained a little bit of a reputation as a money sinkhole and has been losing money for decades. And so finally, the Italian government has decided to call it quits. We have a new state airline that is going to start operations officially on the 15th. It's called ITA, Italia Trasporto Aereo. And they are going to go ahead and start serving many of those same locations that Alitalia has served with a much smaller staff of only about 6,000 as opposed to Alitalia's 11,000, but they are going to, hopefully they've got a plan to get out of debt. They're going to start with about 52 airplanes, and then they have a goal to be completely in the black by 2023.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.